If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
It's a great pleasure to welcome Ivor Cummins back to RCR. We spoke to him back in March, and Ivor, welcome back from Dublin. Great to have you.
Great stuff, Paul. Great to be here again, and congrats on you guys to get your budgets kind of fixed up and stuff. I know it's tough out there. I know myself.
Yeah, well, don't we all know? Last time we spoke was before that happened, so we're on the other side now.
Excellent.
Feels good. Where to start? Latest on WHO treaty, Irish declaration last Monday at Globalist Cabal event in Killarney, Ireland. We're pushing back here now. We're having public meetings. People are coming along. The government's saying, hey, wait on there. You know, what's in it for us? Sovereignty, all that sort of stuff. So that's happening, which is a miracle.
Mm.
Your side of the planet, what's happening?
Yeah, well, we had an event I think we covered back in March in our last chat in Dublin. We had various notables came to Ireland and they did an hour session in the Irish Parliament. Now, it was not well attended, of course. We expected that. But they did press releases and it was great to be part of it. But more recently, Eddie Hobbs, an Irish personality who's been kind of banned from media. He's an investment manager, financial guy. And just a quick side point, in April 2020, he was first out at the traps with COVID. And he didn't question the whole pandemic, but he clearly said the money that's being thrown out here around the Western world is going to cause massive inflation. So it was a financial article. And he said there was an eerie silence. And after that, they never put him back on the air. So it's very interesting. He said no economist, no financial person would cover the fact that we were creating an enormous inflation bubble that was going to hit in a year or two. And the reason, of course, was that the word was out. They knew they were creating inflation for a purpose, and anyone who said it had to be taken down. So that's Eddie. He's been a great guy the last year or two, great speaker, and he's done a huge amount of work on the World Health Regulations, worked with lawyers, got all the latest revs. The good news for people is that the latest revs have been watered down massively. So they've taken out most of the madness. But the danger is, of course, if they get it through, they'll just boiling frog and do little amendments quietly to get it all back in again. But it's great to see they responded to people pressure. You had thousands of people in Japan, of all places. Astonishingly.
Yeah, how do we explain that? Because they're usually very compliant and they, well, I don't know if they do what they're told, but they're very cautious about what they do.
Yeah, they generally don't get involved in global political, geopolitical things and demonstrate on those. And generally, they don't really demonstrate at all. So obviously, the words got around. Now, Japan did have a prime minister, I think, assassinated. They did not react to COVID. They kind of did not do major measures. So I think Japan has a certain wisdom in the people and the politicians that they held off from fully going along with COVID. So maybe there was a bubbling kind of antipathy in Japan to all of this nonsense that we've been through. And now they've got word of the World Health Regulations and they're thinking, oh my God, next time, even Japan, we will have to do the nonsense. So they rose up quite well and it's fantastic to see.
Yeah, haven't there been a few doctors who have been quite strident in speaking out about the vaccine? I've seen a few of those and again surprised that they might be so willing to speak. So they got a little bit of backbone, haven't they, it seems?
Yeah, I think so. And generally, the culturally in the country, they just weren't as drawn into the madness as the Western generic nations, a bit like the Eastern Europeans, a lot of resistance there and in Hungary and, of course, Sweden and the Nordics. So I think there's a little bit of that. They've got still retained their own culture. And that, of course, Paul, this is the interesting thing in my root cause diagram of the strategies of these globalist pigs. They need to undermine the culture, history and sovereignty and nationalism of all the nations. And then they comply easily.
Yeah,
so we saw the nations that managed to resist mass migration, resist some of the woke nonsense. They tended to come out and resist also the more sinister nonsense that came afterwards, like COVID, etc. So, yeah, interesting. A few specialists came out in Japan. Some of the mainstream media actually entertained them a little. And yet they've got what we should have had in all our other Western nations, at least.
Yeah. Do we need, okay, it's nice that the WHO are listening and modifying their, agreement and the 300 or so amendments. But we don't want this thing full stop, do we?
Absolutely. That's the crucial point, Paul. You cannot allow it at all, because even what's left in it is supremely sinister. So if they get this where it's actually been possible for people to find out they're doing it, and there has been resistance, if they get it through in any form, I would reckon that they'll then quietly tweak it in smaller ways that don't require a broader knowledge of governments, politicians. So that is the danger, as always, boiling frog. Now, Eddie Hobbs, I mentioned, he's been told in the last month or two by four mainstream outlets who were willing to interview him in principle. All four told him that they have gotten the word to not discuss the World Health Regulations or Pandemic Treaty. So basically, they've been given the nod. Wouldn't say who. They told him in confidence. One even said it's their license, basically, broadcasting license.
Well, that comes from the top.
So they've actually been told not to. Yeah. Oh, where do we think masks came in the summer of 2020 when there was no one in the ICUs, no deaths, everything was quiet seasonally, and suddenly mandatory masks? We still don't know where they came from, but be assured they came from the very, very top. So it's like that. It's coming from the top through all the influencers of this globalist kind of scumbag parade. And the word has come down and they are honouring the word. And one or two even hinted about their broadcasting license. And that's not to allow on an anti-vaxxer. That's to have a discussion about the World Pandemic Treaty. Basically, no discussion allowed.
It's interesting because, you know, in our situation here, there was an effort to regulate the online space. Platforms like us that are online, not regular broadcasters. And that's been put away. But I don't know if I feel sorry for them, but those mainstream operations sort of caught in a pincer movement, aren't they, between the entity that owns, let's say, the frequency and issues the license, and then some kind of mis- or disinformation regulator that stops them from saying certain things. It's a hell of a position to be in.
Yeah, in fairness, they are crushed. Now, most of the media promote the propaganda clearly with gusto. So I think the mainstream media is absolutely packed with useful idiots who are fine with all this madness. But I agree, there's probably good people in there who have to grit their teeth, keep their head down. There's some good managers in media and editors who have to grit their teeth and keep their head down. Yeah, I'd say those people are there. But the problem is the top CEOs and the umbrella owners, essentially, they've been popping to Davos every year for the last 20 or 30 years.
Okay, so they're in there,
so they know.
Yeah.
They know the score.
Okay. The plantation of Ireland, our treasonous, that's a strong word, government, drafting in British security forces to beat the people down. Ivor, what the hell is happening here? Treasonous.
Yeah, it's been crazy here the last month or two. So the big one is hashtag Newtown Mount Kennedy. That's a village in Ireland, south of Dublin. And they decided to cram this sleepy village, which has no job prospects or extra jobs or things to do. But they decided to take the tent cities that have built up in Dublin after the massive migration, a forced migration, essentially, of the last couple of years, straight from the UN, straight from the globalists. Our puppeteers simply deploy it against the people's wishes. So that's a long story. But they decided to bring hardcore police down and set up a cordon and shut down the Irish Games pitch, the GA pitch, and lock out with barriers. And they're going to force in a large number of mostly young male migrants into this little town or village of Newtown Mount Kennedy. So what happened is the awareness was growing, which is fantastic, and Newtown Mount Kennedy rose up against the slurs of racist and all this kind of far right slurs from the media. The people in the town rose up, men, women and children, and they packed the streets where the work was going on. And it was a big kind of confrontation. Now, the media all said that there were far right people and causing trouble. But the video footage from the phones was clear. Heavy handed police roared and abused them and beat them up in a few occasions. Now, the really interesting thing about all this is no mainstream media would cover it except to say they're racist people, of course. The social media covered it massively, which was great. But it turned out that it looked like the masked police were not Irish Gardaí, Irish police force.
Okay, yeah. That's weird.
Weird. And there was one footage piece where a man in a mask, in a police uniform, bellowed at the people, who women and children who were moving away from him, and bellowed at them, "You scum," or something like that. And it was clearly a Northern Irish or English accent.
He let down his guard, eh?
Yeah. So apparently there's a new clip from another town that's being abused by the authorities in a similar way. And through a yellow jacket, you can see, this is not verified yet, again, Northern Irish police, which is UK, which is the Brits, British, right, who dominated Ireland for hundreds of years. So imagine the treason to this. But you know what? Here's the killer, Paul. Someone sent me a month ago, so, well, Ivor, it's not too surprising. They put it in law. And I said, what? January or February 2024, a statute was renewed and tweaked, and it gives the Irish Gardaí the powers by law to bring down, with no limits, any member of the Police Service of Northern Ireland, which is the UK, which is the Britain.
How does that work with sovereignty and issues like that?
No one has an answer for it. It's astonishing to me, but they got it through quietly. Now, someone pointed out afterwards, it was originally put in a form in 2015. But then again, we know for 10 or 20 years, like Institute Strategic Dialogue had the Safe Cities Network to create new police forces that were hardened, black clad for future terrorism in cities.
Okay, yeah.
And that was rolled out in New Zealand, Australia, Germany, and all over the world. And ISD is a front for globalism. So they did that. So we're not surprised 2015 this was put in, because these events were long predated, we know. But imagine that they'd bring down what was our, and I know we're all at peace now, but in principle, they bring down some people like the Black and Tans decades ago during the strife with England. The Black and Tans were UK kind of semi-army police forces to beat up the locals, beat them into submission. So they're actually having a go again and going back to that kind of chapter in history. Yeah.
I find that stunning. I can't believe you'd pull a move like that, right? I mean, people are going to find out so easily. It's out there.
Yeah, it is. It's out there, but not a whisper in mainstream. And we got to remember, this is our headwind. Mainstream address the kind of compliant masses and the middle managers. I'll tell you a quick story just that's actually just occurred to me. So the eight or nine people I was with for over 30 years, friends, they cancelled me only when I went against the vaccine narrative. It was too much for them. Yep. That's a couple of years ago. I think I told that story. A couple of them, specific subset, actually offered to go for a couple of pints last week. I was there, I thought maybe in a year or two that could happen, but this is early. So I went, played it straight, didn't mention the war. But during the chat, the most notable thing that came up, first, there was no hint and they would not touch on the past, because I think deep down they know it was rotten, they know I was right, but they're not going there, not going to admit it. Okay, that's first thing. But twice in the conversation, which I kept very, very lighthearted and I didn't let on at all that there was a problem. That's the way to play these things. Twice, it was fascinating. At one point, Trump was brought up and a load of anti-Trump stuff burst out of them, which is a classic sign of being propagandized by the Irish Times and the papers triggered. Of record.
Yep. Yeah. You're ready to go, just waiting for the moment. Yep.
Yeah, and I played it cool and I kind of laughed and said, where did Trump come out of? And I let on that I was thinking, where did that come from? But I didn't show an opinion. And then at another point, Russia invading Europe and anti-Putin nonsense came up. And again, I played it like, huh? Why would Russia come anywhere near us? So I played it real cool, but fascinating that two of the biggest, most ridiculous propaganda pieces emanating from the West are embedded in them. Even though...
Not surprised.
No, but you'd think they'd be backing off a bit from propaganda after realizing what we went through. But no, COVID is accepted quietly as being questionable, but we won't talk about it. But every morning, the managers and academics, and I know guys in senior positions all across Ireland, every morning, the Irish Times is put on their desk. And I have read that in the last few years, Paul, and I used to read it years ago. It was the paper of record. It is literally a globalist junk piece now. And that's being fed in every day.
No one has to read it, though, Ivor. They don't have to read it, do they?
But the fish don't know they're in the fishbowl. When they read it, they feel smart, like I might have 20 years ago. I'm reading the paper of record, the intellectual, political paper. It's the paper of record.
That's vanity.
A little bit. And also a little bit of being careful to read the best media to not be propagandized. The irony is they have no idea that it is 100% captured now.
It kind of reminds me of those show hypnotists, you know, that would do those live shows. They would filter out who they could easily work with, and the others all got told to go back into the audience quickly. And then you'd have them doing all these things through the evening, trigger words, they get up, run around and do something, sit down. It kind of sounds like almost a state of hypnosis, right? So once you've got them in there, okay, you put the Irish Times on the desk, or you say this or you say that, and it's like the hypnotist telling them to do something. And who's there to go when it's all over?
That's it, and that's the problem. In fact, the people who can click their fingers and break the spell, and Matthias Desmet went through this at length and compared it deeply, you're right, Paul, to hypnotism. The problem is the guy to click the fingers is the people who step up and ask questions. Now, the problem we've had is they know that, therefore censorship, abuse, and accusations of far right and racist have been hurled at people who simply try and click their fingers a bit. Yeah. So they know damn well what they're doing.
But that's part of the programmed response to hypnotist's command too, as if anyone says anything, you will do this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they need to deal with, shall we say, hecklers. Because I was at a show once in my corporate, a hypnotism show, and perhaps because it was full of engineers and they'd been drinking a little, they were quite unruly. And he managed to get a couple of people in the end, who were kind of performing on stage, but the thing actually fell apart. It was hard to watch simply because too many people were kind of questioning and the whole thing fell apart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the exact same problem.
Yeah. Moving along, time is tight. Your trip, I know we spoke to you, I think, when you were in Dubai, and that was last month, I'm pretty sure, or maybe you've made another visit. And there was a hedge fund managers meeting, was it? What happened there? I don't think I ever got around to asking you about that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But it's a group of kind of capital investors, company owners, hedge fund people, generally very high net worth. But they brought me in because of my COVID role in the past few years. It was kind of rewarding me for the work I'd done, because in the kind of macroeconomics and financial space, there's quite a lot of awareness. They're pretty savvy people and they knew something was rotten. I, of course, helped them connect that to the actual data, and then they 100% knew. But we went over there and I gave it turned out, keynotes. So at each day of the conference, the two main days, they ended up putting me at 8:30 first thing. And I told the story in a compressed version of the Rockefellers right through to today, and they found it fascinating. And the second day I talked about resistance movements, and I mentioned you guys, of course, too, and where we are with resistance movements, and also the root cause of all the strategies and how everything connects from trans to climate to anti-meat to COVID itself, CBDC, you know, mass migration, how everything connects, how they're using these strategies synergistically. So it's a great couple of days. The main themes were how we push back, and also domiciles where people who have got some means can escape if things get bad in the future. And that was a big discussion. It's not for me. I'm standing and fighting where I am. I don't have major means. But for a lot of people there, they talked at length. And it was very interesting. Like, is Turkey relatively safe without really leaving Europe? And what about Zanzibar? What about South Africa? It's a bit chaotic now, but the government didn't implement all the madness at all, really. So it's got advantages, etc. So those kinds of discussions mainly, and how we push back.
Interesting. A friend of mine who's very worldly, I asked him that question, where do you bolt to? You've been everywhere, virtually every country, and worked there, and he has great knowledge. And he said Namibia.
Ah, that came up. I can't remember the details, but a lot of those kind of African side countries, one guy made the point, you want to get the most corrupt and incompetent government you can find, but still where the country is safe and the tax and other law kind of functions. That combination, because you want an incompetent government that simply won't bother implementing the globalist nonsense when it comes. They'll doff the cap, they'll nod to the globalists and say they're doing all this nonsense with passports, but in reality on the ground it won't be happening. So that was one angle.
He was pretty sure about that. So there's a heads up for folks. All right. You're off to Orlando. Last time I was in Orlando would have been 2002 or something. Quite the place. To, what is it, a Rebel Capitalist Live Conference? This sounds like, like it's interesting. Great name.
Yeah, well, the guy who runs it was in Dubai, George Gammon. He's a fantastic guy. I had kind of come across him before, but to meet him in person, like so many others there, like Simon Hunt, the investor, British investor, it was amazing to be there. But George Gammon has his own YouTube channel, well worth subscribing to, George Gammon, and also Rebel Capitalist YouTube channel. And he covered COVID to the point of getting censored and shadow banned and all the rest. He fought hard. Great guy. Super on the inside, knows the investment world inside out, macroeconomics. And if you watch his Rebel Capitalist videos, you'll rapidly pick up on how the world of finance works, you know, inflation, the inversion of the yield curve, when the big recession's coming, all this stuff. So that's just a tip for listeners. But he's running Rebel Capitalist Live for the, I don't know, the third, fourth year, I'm not sure. And after seeing me in Dubai and we had dinner, he wants me to come over. Right. So he's flying me over, got me a hotel to give a talk similar to Dubai on the global kind of chess game and let all his people know. And he says it's going to be fantastic. And he wants me to meet other people there. So it's a huge opportunity. George is super smart. And it's just a great opportunity to me. And this community for me is really important. They don't bring any revenue. I've still got to struggle, just like you guys. But they do introduce me to a huge network of really happening people, really smart people. And you find out a lot of stuff for them. Like, I found out off one of them who's involved with NSA kind of people, National Security Agency in America, back in the 90s, on the initial forming. He's a hedgy guy, a hedge fund, of digital currency, like the kinds of systems that could become Bitcoin. And basically, suddenly that was disbanded. He got arrested by the FBI just to be questioned in America in the airport. And afterwards he said, I won't go into detail, Ivor, but as far as I'm concerned, Bitcoin itself is a very well hidden front, basically for NSA and the usual guys.
Okay, another one. Gee.
It may or may not be true, but that's the tip of the iceberg. You find out from these people, stuff from the inside. And another guy, and people should go to my YouTube, I interviewed Alex Kraner, who's a Croatian, who's a hedge fund manager in Monaco the last 20 years. And he wrote a book on Putin, Russia and the West, researched it thoroughly, published in 17 or 18, and it was banned from Amazon as soon as someone did a review of it in Huffington Post. And the article was taken down from Huffington Post within 3 hours.
And they really don't like it, do they? They really don't like it.
No. And it was 100% factual. Red Pill Publishing did a full legal check on it, took a long time, verified every fact, and then published it. And a couple of weeks later, it was taken off Amazon again. He said, I pretty much know it was a letter from the State Department, USA.
Yeah.
Told Amazon no. And that video interview with Alex Kraner is fascinating. And it tells us the truth in 20 minutes about Russia and why the West hates Russia and Putin. And of course, the story we're told is head to toe, utter nonsense about Russia and Putin, pretty much.
We don't have time for it this time around, but I'd be keen to find out more about that. And I'm sure our listeners would be. So maybe in our next chat, we can touch on that.
Yep. Big topic.
I had a, we had our money feature before me chatting to you. David James, who's an Australian financial journalist and a writer. And on CBDCs, he says this, it won't happen because if banks can't charge interest on anything, they won't want it. So if it doesn't yield interest, that form of money, then no one's going to be interested. Is there anything in that?
Well, it's a point. And to be honest, it's not one that's really come up so far, even in Dubai with all the investor types. That one actually hasn't really come up. And I think it's probably because of an understanding that if it happens, and we're all in big trouble if it does, of course, it's being driven. The banks are puppies. So all the banks, and even the biggest banks, you know, and JP Morgan and Diamond and all these people, at the end of the day, they are servants of the central banking power structure, which arguably you could say the central banking power structure in the world since the formation of the Fed in 1913, that they are kind of the head of the snake at the very top. And many diagrams show them above Rockefellers and above the UN as the head of the snake. And it's a fair argument. They're the ones that tell the banks what to do. Full stop. Any banks that don't like the system, they'll find themselves in serious trouble pronto. So I think if the banks don't like it won't matter, because the banks are so subservient. Now, currently, the way the financial macroeconomic system is being run, quite clearly with the creation of massive inflation and then the raising of interest rates, it's going to destroy smaller banks across America and the Western world. And this has been happening for 20, 30 years. They are actively destroying lower level banks and making bigger and bigger behemoth banks like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, etc., who are centrally evil, making those dominate the market. And they're in with the central banks. So I think, So even if there is a problem for smaller banks on the interest rate front, well, A, they'll find a mechanism to fix that. And they let the banks wet their beaks, shall we say, like the mafia. They'll make sure that the families, the big families, wet their beaks, keep them happy. But B, the smaller banks who are not happy, they won't have much say in it. So I think that's the challenge here. The central banks have enormous power behind the scenes, shadow power.
Up against time, so why don't we just go straight to the last item on the list, the Road to Geneva event, end of this month. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Dan Aston Gregory is a British kind of activist who I've worked with quite a lot since COVID started. And he's organized, along with other people, going for MEP in Europe. Met a lovely lady in Brownstone Institute conference I was in Girona a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, they're all coming together. I haven't got it in front of me now, but they got a load of great speakers. Andrew Bridgen has been a stalwart of this. He's been interviewed on it, so you can look him up on his Twitter timeline. And they're basically going to bring a load of people from the UK to Geneva. I think it's 30th of May coming. Over a couple of days, they're going to do a kind of caravan to Geneva. and to protest against the madness, obviously, that's been going on the past years and what's coming down the road. So it's a really big event. I presume hashtag Road to Geneva will get you all the details. So people should look it up. Your side of the world, you're less likely to get involved. But yeah, I've just found it here. I've done a tweet. Not too late to be part of history. Please support Road to Geneva against medical totalitarianism. And the people involved, speakers are Dr. Maria Hubner-Mogg. I interviewed her in Spain recently. We've got John Cage, Steve Kirch,
Steve Lindley, yeah.
Superb. Philip Cruz, the lawyer who's been central against the pandemic treaty. Dr. Seem Malhotra, Ryan Cole, Matthias Desmond, Andrew Bridge, and Brett Weinstein. And I could go on. We have Malone in there and Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger. So rally in March, Saturday, 1st June 2024 at 1:30, Place des Nations, Geneva, Switzerland. So a huge deal and great to see it happening. Hope it gets huge support.
Ivor, great to have you back. We'll talk in a month or so, but yeah, nice to have you back. It's great for us to be back, so it's all good. Enjoy your trip to Orlando, and as I say, we'll talk in about a month.
Super stuff, Paul, and there's always plenty to talk about these days. Good man. Bye now.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.